Well, as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God, it always brings me great joy to see how much you guys love to just greet one another. Especially when they say that the number one thing people hate about going to church, when they go to church, is the meet and greet. So I don't know why you guys love it so much, but it makes me happy. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. This word is going to really bless all of us here this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1 through 15. And the word of God says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right in the end of the day. So they went out to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one has hired us.' The landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in the vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested, they complained to the owner, 'Those people worked only 1 hour and you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair.'" Notice verse 13. It's where the Lord really grabbed my heart. "He answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others?'" Verse 13, one more time. "He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair.'" Of course, the landowner is a picture of God. And in verse 13, the landowner, God says, "I have not been unfair." The title of today's message is simply this: I haven't been unfair. For anyone that feels like God is a little unfair, life is a little extra hard for you and not others, this word, if you listen closely, we'll bless you. Let's go to the word in prayer, to the Lord for the word in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to church and worship you and be amongst church family. Father, I don't know what type of week they've had. Father, I know that we've had ups and downs, but we've come to this service today because today is the first day of the week, Lord. We want to start our week right in your word and in worship. And I pray, Lord, that you would use me to speak your word and bless us with your presence. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into today's word. He hasn't been unfair. Let me give you a context of what's happening. Jesus is giving a parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in scriptures, whenever you read Jesus saying, "Well, the kingdom of heaven is like this," we're easy to assume that Jesus is talking about heaven where the Lord is right now. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the people that live under the authority of God's kingship. He's talking about people that believe in Christ. He's talking about Christians. We are here living on this earth, but we are under the authority of God. Amen. So when you are saying, I'm a professing Christian, I've given my life to Jesus, I've repented of my sins and I've turned to Him and I've submitted to the Lord's authority, understand that being a Christian is one of the hardest things to do on this earth. It takes a real dedicated person to follow Jesus, especially in the times that we're living in. Amen? So the Bible is full of advice for people that have chosen to live under the kingship, under the authority of God. And Jesus begins to give this parable, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Now Jesus gives this parable and He begins to say that there were a certain group of men that went out to work. Now let me just explain to you before we start this message that in those times, a typical work day was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours was a typical work day in those times. You complain about 8, but the average hour spent working in those times of Jesus was 12 hours, sun up to sundown. Now, jobs were scarce and needs needed to be met. And everyone was always worried about their daily living, their daily needs being met. That's why Jesus said, do not worry about today. Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, the common everyday necessities. Because the common everyday necessities was a big worry in the mind of many people when there wasn't a lot of work. There wasn't a lot of opportunities to make money, but men needed to provide for their families, for their wives, for their homes and their children. So it was common that men would get up before dawn, before the sun would even rise, and they would go out to the marketplaces hoping that people would, business owners would be there and they would get hired. So the Bible says that the landowner went to the marketplace as usual early in the morning and he sees these men and he asks, why aren't you working? He sees a group of people at 6 a.m. and he gives them a job. And he hires them to work in the vineyard. This was a blessing. This was in the eyes of those men that were hired at 6 a.m. for at least today, we don't have to worry about money. I can come home to my children and my wife. I can provide food. I can provide to pay for the bills for today. It was a blessing to be selected to go to work that day. You know, if you've ever driven early morning through a Home Depot parking lot, you all know what I'm talking about. You see a bunch of men waiting, hoping to see some work. How many of you have seen that? That was what it's like. I remember just this Christmas, last Christmas, we were looking for a Christmas tree, and my mom, and I'm blaming her, she sent me all the way down near Homestead to a Home Depot to go find a tree she says was on sale. And I took Jericho with me in my truck, a work truck, typical basic work truck. When we got in that Home Depot parking lot, I was chased down. And men were trying to get on top of my truck and I had to yell at them, no, no work, no work, no, I'm going to shop, I'm shopping. But that's the desperation. And I never got the Christmas tree. It was sold out anyway. But the point is, that's the same idea. There were these men that would just sit around and hoping to find work. Wouldn't you know that the 6 a.m. people that were up early in the marketplace, they were the ones that say, what's the saying go? The early bird catches the worm. Those were those people. They were waiting. They got hired. They were blessed. And then the Bible says that at 9 a.m., a group of people were there. And the landowner says, hey, why aren't you working? And they say, oh, we don't know. No one's hired us. Well, come on by. I'll hire you. They were blessed. 9 a.m. Wouldn't you know that the landowner went back at 12 p.m.? He sees a group of people at 12 at lunchtime and says, hey, why are you here? He says, oh, well, no one's hired us. Well, come on by. Well, I'll hire you. 12 p.m., they came by. And the Bible says another 3 hours later, at 3 o'clock, he hired more people. But then the graciousness of this vine, this owner, at 5 p.m., think about this, at 5 p.m., when it was time to close, when the business was almost done, 1 hour left. How do you act when there's 1 hour left of your job? How do you act? You start cleaning up. You start packing up. You're not working anymore because 4 o'clock means I stop working. I get ready to go home. That's shame on you for that. You still have an hour. But anyway, these people at 5 o'clock got hired to go out and barely work. You imagine at 5 p.m. you walk in there. There's barely any grapes to be picked. You haven't broken a sweat and you're just barely doing anything. Well, the end of the day, 6 p.m. hits. All right? 6 p.m. hits. They all line up. The landowner says, I want you to pay the 5 o'clock crew first. And when the 5 o'clock crew comes by, they're barely sweating. They're barely dirty. And they get an entire day's wage. Think about that. How generous is that landowner? You don't deserve that. You didn't earn that. You didn't work hard for it. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. That's what grace looks like. He blessed them and says, I know you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I care about you. You're my friend. I'm going to bless you with an entire day's wages. Now think about that. If you're the 6 a.m. crew, how many of you are angry? Few of you. Yeah. But see, the 6 a.m. crew was not angry yet. Because imagine now the 6 a.m. crew versus the 5 a.m. crew. The 6 a.m. crew where the early bird catches the worm, let's go. The 5 p.m. crew, you know what they're like? They say, hey, the early bird catches the worm and I agree with you, but that worm woke up earlier than the bird and he got eaten and he died, so I might as well come late. And that 5 p.m. crew just shows up and they get an entire day's wages. The 6 p.m. crew says, hey, if he gave an entire day's wages for someone that worked 1 hour, imagine what he's going to pay us. Imagine we're going to get a bonus. We're going to get stacks. Imagine these lazy bums got paid a day's wages for 1 hour. We've been working for 12. We're going to get triple the amount, maybe even more. So there they are, sweating. Sunburnt, tan, filled and covered in grape juice and thorns, but with their backs broken, sweating, tired, saying, it's worth it, guys. Look at us. We were out early. We worked so hard. We're about to get paid. The landowner comes with the foreman and says, here you go. And gives them a day wage. The same as the 5 p.m. crew. Let me ask you now, if you're a 6 a.m. crew, what are you thinking? It's unfair. How many of you are forming a union and getting mad? How many of you are complaining, angry? Well, you can understand now, church, how it looks like it's unfair, but it's what they agreed to. And Jesus is saying, here, I'm the landowner. And you've agreed to work for me. You've agreed to follow me. You've agreed to serve me. And the kingdom of heaven looks like sometimes it's unfair. Sometimes it looks like you're the ones doing the work. You're the ones coming to church. You're the ones praying. You're the ones living right. And it seems like you get nothing in return. But you see, you see people out there that do less than what you do, and they have more. And their lives are easier. And it looks like God has blessed them. And that happens because the Bible says that they were angry with him. They were actually protesting. The word protest there literally means to complain because something wrong has been done. And if God is the landowner, which he is, they were literally telling God, you've made a mistake. You've done wrong. I don't deserve this. I deserve more. Do you know how many people actually feel like telling God they've made a mistake with the way their lives are? That they deserve more than what God is doing. They deserve to have more than what God has given. Now, they were upset, yes, but here's why they're upset. It's the same reason so many other people are upset with God sometimes when you're following Jesus. Look at verse 10 through 11. When those hired the first came to get their pay, they assumed they would what? Receive more. That's it. They assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wages. And in verse 11, the Bible says when they received their pay, they protested to the owner. You see, the reason they got so upset with the landowner, with God, the master, was because of assumption. They assumed that they would get more. They complained and said, this is not fair. And they told the landowner, you've done something wrong, because they assumed they would get more. If you're following Jesus Christ today, let me give you some good pastoral advice. If you want a life of peace, throw away all of your assumptions about God. Throw away how you feel and assume God should do things in your life. Throw away the assumption that God is going to just always make it easy on you. Throw away the assumption that God is just going to bless you every day of your life and life is going to be great and filled with riches and pleasure. Throw away all the assumptions of how you thought God was going to do things. See, these 6 a.m. crew stood in line assuming that the landowner was going to give them more. And when their expectations and their assumptions were not met, they complained, they got angry, they assumed wrong, they were discontent, they were even jealous. You know how many people today feel like God has been unfair? So many of you don't want to admit it, but you're looking at your life right now and you think, God, I deserve more. I deserve more. Because today in the church, there's this garbage being preached in the pulpit that when you serve Jesus, you'll always get more. And you're going to get prosperous and blessed and healthy and rich and more and more and more. But the reality is, and I hate to tell you this, but sometimes you're going to serve God and you're going to see other people you feel don't deserve it get more than you got. Can I get a witness? Where are my real Christians at today? Come on, get real today. Today's service is for real people. Many people in life are angry, are frustrated. Many believers, many Christians under the kingdom of heaven, under the authority of Christ's kingdom, are angry today, are frustrated. Worse, they're discontent, jealous, because they feel deserving of more from God. Why? Well, the 6 a.m. crew felt they deserved more because they worked more. And in the eyes of many Christians today, yeah, it's not by works that you're saved, but it's by works that you're blessed. So the more I work for God, the more He's going to bless me. It's not biblical. It's false. And the 6 a.m. crew thought, because I work more, I deserve more. And in the Christian mindset today, it's like saying, Lord, I serve you more in the church. And I do X and Y ministry, and I do this ministry, and I do that, and I do this, and I go to church on Sundays, and I pray, and I read my Bible. Lord, I deserve more. I deserve better. But see, I'm serving you, Lord, and I'm living faithful, and I'm living right, and I'm living moral, and I'm not living like the world does. I'm not living like half of the people in the church. I love you, Lord. I do more. But yet, when I look at my life and I've seen other people's lives, I see you blessing Johnny more. I see you blessing Susie more. I see you giving Tim more. I look at everyone in the church. I look at everything that's going on. And Lord, you're making their lives easier and this life easier. And Lord, here I am serving you. And yet you give this person a promotion. This person gets married. This person gets a better job. This person has a baby. This person is healthy. This person is happy. And I get broke. I don't get promotions. I get cancer. I live in an apartment that I can barely pay off. Lord, why are you so unfair? Does it ever feel like God is unfair? I meet so many Christians that feel like God is unfair. And God, you've been so unfair to me. There are those that feel like God has been so unfair since their childhood. I'm talking to those that maybe have not had the best of parents growing up or grandparents. And maybe you were at a disadvantage that you had to work harder than most kids. And you went through things you feel were not fair as a child. Maybe you feel like you're working a job that's unfair. You do so much and yet you're not appreciated. And you do so much and yet you don't get a raise. And you do so much and you don't get promoted. It's so unfair. I meet women that say, it's so unfair that she's married. I'm so much prettier. It's so unfair that they have a home and a life and with children and a family. I deserve more. Why am I still single? There are people that want children that can, and they say, that's so unfair. I meet plenty of bad parents that have babies like rabbits, and here we are living for God, and we can't even pop one out. Sometimes in your life, it's going to seem like God is unfair. And when you feel like God is unfair, what do you do? Especially when God is blessing others, like the 5 p.m. crew. People that don't serve Christ like you do. People that seem lazier for the Lord than you are. People that seem like they just show up at the best time when it's payday. And you're going to see God give other people breakthroughs. You're going to see God give other people opportunities. It's going to feel like life is easier for them and not you. And why do they get blessed and not me? And stop pretending, well, I'm happy for them. No, you're not. You look back at your life and you say, God, I don't understand it. They don't deserve that. A big question we ask ourselves when God seems unfair is, why them? Why them? But let's be honest here. If you're feeling like the 6 a.m. crew, and you're disciplined and living for the Lord and working hard and serving, but then you see people like the 5 p.m. group show up, it's hard to see God bless people you think they don't deserve Him. And it seems like their lives are easier. You see, when you're in this position, I dare to ask yourself this question. What do you deserve from God? I'm really so real today. I want someone to answer that from the audience. What do you feel you deserve from God? No, you deserve something. You know what we deserve from God? Hell. Eternity in hell. Punishment. You want to know who was really treated unfair? Jesus. Who died on the cross for your sins so that we should not go to hell. Everything else you have in your life is grace. You and I deserve nothing from God. The truth is, the first people, the 6 a.m. crew, should have been the most content, the most thankful, and the one most filled with joy. Why? Because they woke up that morning not knowing how they were going to provide for their family. They woke up that morning not knowing how they will make ends meet. They went to bed last night not knowing how they were going to pay the bills. They woke up that morning not knowing what was going to happen. And they were in the marketplace searching and hoping that someone would notice them and hire them. And when that landowner saw them and hired them, they should have been grateful they had a job. They should have been grateful they had provision. They should have been grateful that the Lord blessed them. But instead, what you see is a bunch of people that are blessed, discontent, ungrateful, angry, and even jealous with a lack of joy. When I see many Christians today, this is exactly what I see. Self-deserving, entitled people that feel God should give them more than what they have. People that have lost contentment for life. People that are ungrateful. lack joy, competitive, trying to be the best, lacking in joy, lacking in gratefulness and contentment. Church, can I tell you, when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there are certain disciplines we live by. The first one is contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. The Bible says, but godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. That word gain literally means wealth and value. And Paul wrote this because there were false teachers saying that when you are godly and living godly life, the Lord is going to bless you with riches. It's the same prosperity garbage being taught today, that when you serve God, He's going to bless you with health and wealth and everything else. And life is going to be easy, and God's going to give you more and more and more, and upgrade and promotion and all of that. But see, Paul was saying, listen, as a Christian, we don't serve God to get something from Him. The fact that you and I are born again believers on our way to heaven should give us a great contentment. So Paul says, you want to see where the real value and wealth is having godliness and contentment. Contentment. It's something that you and I have to learn, though. You're not born with it. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul is so honest when he became a Christian. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned, listen, I have learned how to be what? Content. I had to learn it. It wasn't something I just woke up with. It wasn't something God just gave me. It's something I had to learn and discipline myself in to be content, because godliness with contentment is where the real wealth is. He says, I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how it is to live. Notice how life is. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whatever it is, with full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. Here's a secret. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Come on, give Him praise in the house today. That's the secret to contentment. Is knowing whether I'm poor or rich, hungry or full, up or down, I have the strength I need in Jesus to get through any situation in life. And because I have His strength, I am content knowing Jesus is with me. Contentment is lost today in the church because you feel entitled for more. I deserve more. I do this. I do that. I need more, more, more. And the more you get, the more empty you feel. Not only is contentment something that should mark every believer in the church, in a world filled with where contentment is absent, is extinct. And people that don't know Jesus, they want more. They want to be prettier, healthier. They want more, bigger, upgrade, because the world is empty without Jesus. But we have Jesus, and that should be the ultimate gain in our lives. Christians will have ups and downs. Paul said, I know what it is to be rich and poor. With Jesus, you're going to know what it is to get blessed and have a paycheck and then lose that paycheck because the refrigerator breaks. You're going to know what it is to be poor. You're going to know what it is to be healthy. You're going to know what it is to be sick. You're going to know what it is to be happy. You're going to know what it is to be depressed. You're going to know what it is to be blessed. You're going to know what it is to suffer. You're going to know what it is to win. You're going to know what it is to lose. Because life is filled with this inconsistency. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's good, it's bad. But no matter what situation you're in, as a believer in Christ, there should be a contentment knowing I have Jesus and His strength gets me through anything in my life. Contentment will bless you. And when you have contentment, Philippians 2:14, Paul writes to this church, do everything without what? Complaining and arguing. Let's look at just this week alone. How many of you failed? It says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as what? Children of God. Where you shine like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. There is a world filled with crooked, empty, perverse, ungodly people out there. And when they see you and I, they should see an embodiment of contentment and joy because we rely on the strength of Jesus Christ. Instead, many people are going to look at Christians and just complain about everything they have no control over. Oh, gas prices are too high. Eggs are too high. This is bad. This is wrong. This is bad. If you look long enough, you will find something to complain about. See, if Jericho looks long enough at me, eventually she'll find something to complain about. But she needs to look real hard. Why are you laughing? You look long enough, you will complain. How many of you complain about traffic? And it's getting worse. And we don't fit in Miami anymore. Can I ask you a question just for my advice? Because I complain too about traffic. The second you complain traffic, did traffic just suddenly move faster? Did the roads clear up? So why do you complain about something that's never going to stop? Here in Miami, we will always be crowded. The Palmetto will always be under construction. I-95 will always be, they don't know where to put roads anymore. But that will always be a problem. Don't complain about it. Just be thankful you live in the United States. Just be thankful that you're blessed. And if you're stuck in traffic, be thankful you have a car to be stuck in. Stop complaining. I'm thankful for air conditioning now because last week ours broke in the church. How many of you walked into it and said, Lord, thank you for fixing this air? Anyone? Maria did. I forgot. Why? Because I feel entitled to air conditioning. But three parts of the world have no AC in church. They got plastic chairs in the middle under a tree to worship Jesus. We deserve nothing. Not only should Christians be marked by contentment and thankfulness and not complaining, but it should be, sorry, for thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. Not just the circumstances you like. Not just the ones that bless you. Thank you, Lord, for my family, my children. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for my job. No. Anyone, even ungodly, can thank God for that. God says, I want to hear you say thank you even when life is hard. I want to hear you say thank you when it seems like I've been unfair to you. I want you to say thank you when you're sick. I want you to say thank you when you've lost your job. I want you to be thankful. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. No matter what you're going through in all circumstances, you have Jesus in you living by your side. And he says, this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. When you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you belong to Jesus, one of the characteristics when you belong to Jesus is a thankful spirit. Thanking God for everything. Thanking God for every opportunity. For everything you have in your life. Because if all you and I deserve is hell, but we have something else in this earth that's greater than that, you should thank God for it because you and I deserve nothing. Thank God. Too many people are just so angry and discontent and have no joy. And they're even protesting God, saying you've done something wrong. But be thankful for everything you have in your life. Sure, you can complain about stuff breaking down in your home, but thank God you have a home. You can complain about your job, but thank God you have one. You can complain about your spouse, but when you wake up in the morning and that person's still by your bedside, would you give God thanks for them? I'm telling you, there are plenty of people that will snatch them right off you. You're like, yeah, they can have them. Yeah, until you find yourself alone. And you realize what a blessing it is to have someone in your life by your side. No matter how, what circumstances you're in your life, learn these valuable words and principles. Lord, thank you. When you wake up in the morning, someone couldn't even wake up and get up out of bed. When you're healthy enough to walk outside, thank God that you're walking. Thank God for everything in your life, all circumstances. Yes, I'm not belittling your circumstances. I'm not saying that what you're going through is not hard, but I'm going to tell you that everything in your life should give God, who is worthy of all praise, a thank you. There are too many people angry, discontent, that have no joy. Why? Well, it's easy. One reason. And it's the thief of all joy. It's the handgun the devil loves to use and carry. Ready? It's comparison. There's a difference when you look up to someone versus when you're looking at someone. It's a thief of all joy. The 6 a.m. crew, well, I'm sure for 12 hours, back-breaking hard work, but they were thankful they had a job. They were happy, everything was great, until when? The Bible says because they were last and the 5 p.m. crew got paid first, it meant that they were literally right there watching the 5 p.m. crew get a day's wage. They saw what they got paid. Church, what if they never saw what the master gave the 5 p.m. crew? Would they have complained? Anyone? But you know why they did? Because they saw what they had. And that's what the devil does to rob you of all joy. Look at their life. Look at yours. Look at that family. Look at yours. Look at that spouse. Look at yours. Look at that church. Look at yours. Look at those children. Look at yours. Isn't God so unfair? You deserve so much more, but look at them. They do half of what you do, and yet they have more. Look at them. They're prettier. They got more. God must love them more. And it fills us with discontentment, ungratefulness, and anger. It's dangerous. Here's my advice to you. Forgive me, it's not my advice. I take that back. It's God's advice. Because it's found in His Word, Galatians 6:4. Pay careful attention to your own work. Let's just stop for that. Can we just breathe a little? I know it's hard. Pay careful attention to your work. Where's your attention today? Your neighbor, family members that you don't like, other people's lives, what they wear, what they have, where they live, who they're married to, how they look. It says, be careful. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then, here's a promise, you will get the what? Satisfaction. Come on, give God praise for that wisdom. You will get satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You want to live a life of satisfaction? Just pay attention to your work. Just do what you got to do. You work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stop looking at the 9 o'clock people, the 12 o'clock people, the 3 o'clock people, the 5 o'clock people, and why did they get a raise, and why did they get paid the same, and I do more, and I'm so unappreciated. Look at them, look at that, they got promoted, look at them. Stop that. God says, pay attention to your work. And you will find the satisfaction of a job well done where you're not even going to need to compare yourself to other people. Stop thinking about what someone's doing, what they're looking like, how they're living, what they own. Be satisfied with what you have. The devil loves to bring comparison and hopelessness and discontentment like the 6 a.m. crew. The truth is, this is what happened and why Saul, King Saul, was destroyed. King Saul started off as a humble man who felt he didn't deserve anything. And by the end of his life and career, he heard one song playing on the radio, you might say. And all the ladies were singing this song, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands." Can I tell you, killing a thousand people, it's pretty cool. It's pretty impressive as a king, for a warrior. Saul was happy with his thousands. He was happy with that until he heard a song that compared him to someone greater. And he was filled with envy, discontentment, rage. And the Bible says even an evil spirit controlled him. The devil will control you when you allow comparison to rule you. So pay careful attention to your work. It's so easy to fall off. It's what the devil says. I'll give an example. Yesterday we went out fishing. And my boat was Danny and a friend of mine. This little 14-foot boat with 2.5 men in it. You know, two big boys and Danny. You know? Skinny Dan just there, you know? And we were out there and we were fishing, having a good time. And I'm kidding, I'm not even, this is a crazy thing. Right next to us, this mega yacht just comes by. You ever see, how many of you have seen a mega yacht? But I'm not talking about you've seen a mega yacht in a boat show or a park on the dock. Have you ever seen a mega yacht in action? It is stupidly awesome. And this mega yacht just comes by us. And we're having a good time fishing in our little boat and everything. This mega yacht just comes. He makes huge waves. We're like, ah, you know, whatever. And you hear the loud music, do, do, do. And you see these crazy looking old men with these 20-year-old girls with strings. I think Pinocchio had more strings on him. These girls were practically naked. There was a jacuzzi in back of the boat. I look at this massive beast of a boat. And on top of that boat, they had a spare little dinghy boat that was the best boat. I would dream of the dinghy. I said, just give me the dinghy. That's the best boat ever. Like, man, just look at that dinghy. I would do so much with that. I don't need the yacht. Too much gas. Give me the dinghy. And I was looking at them, and they were all there partying and laughing around. And you know something about science? It's cool. In the water, the sound bounces off, and you can hear people talking miles away. They were talking about us. I heard it. As I'm rocking, I said, what you say? And these people were in the back, like, laughing and then laughing. And this woman, she said, oh my God, look how little that boat is. Oh my God, I heard it clearly. I'm so glad I'm not poor. And for a moment there, I was like, man, she's right. This boat stinks. Why? And I was like thinking, man, they have it easy. I bet they don't worry about bills. And I bet they don't worry about paying this and doing that. And they don't have half the struggles we have. And man, it's true. And the devil's like, yeah, it's true. Look at them. But then the Lord just put this verse in my mind that I want to read to you tonight. Can I read that today? Psalm 73, 1 through 5. The writer says, truly God is good. How many believe that? He says, God is good. God's good. He's good to those whose hearts are pure, who are living for Him. But he's honest. He says, as for me, he says, I almost lost my footing. I almost slipped. I almost left the faith. I almost turned my back on God. I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping. I was almost gone. I almost stopped serving this God that's so good. And here's how he says, I what? I envied the proud. Who was he looking at, paying attention to? You see how the devil does it? Just pay attention to them. Pay attention to the yacht. Compare your yacht to your boat. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper. When I saw them laying back in the jacuzzi, eating, having a good time with no cares in the world, all their bills paid, when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness, because they were wicked. Anyone that wears a string like that is wicked. It's sad. No, it is. It's sad. And these men, these 70-year-old men with them, they're wicked and perverted. But there it was. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are healthy. For any believer that's going through sickness, that's hard. When you see someone that doesn't serve God and they're healthy, they're strong. They seem to live such painless lives. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. Look at verse 13. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I mean, is it worth serving God? Is it really worth the struggle, the problem? I mean, look at them. They're not serving God and they have no problems. They're healthy. They're rich. Everything's fine. Look at us. We're serving Jesus. We're in church on a Sunday. We could be at the beach. Maybe we can be at the ocean too in a yacht someday living in the world and sin. Man, why not? Why not leave this? Why not just abandon God? Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Am I not having sex before marriage for nothing? Am I not living pure for God for nothing? Am I not serving Jesus for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day. Don't you feel like that sometimes? Every morning brings me pain. Keep reading. If I'd really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. I would have just turned to God. 16 and 17. So I try to understand why the wicked prosper. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do strong Christians die early? Why do wicked people live long? Why do faithful Christians struggle financially? Why do wicked people prosper financially? Why do they have the yacht? Why do I get the little boat? I try to understand. God is good, right? And I'm serving Him. I deserve more. That's not fair. How difficult of a task it was to figure it all out. And then verse 17, God gives him the answer. I went to the sanctuary. I went to God's house. He prays. He says, "Oh God," and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. So as I'm rocking in this little small boat, looking at this beautiful mega yacht with people whose lives I can't even imagine what it's like, how amazing, where they travel, what they own, what they drive. I can only imagine. If your dinghy is my dream boat, I can only imagine the things you own. Until I realize that there's a good chance people like that on that boat don't know Jesus. And if they were dying that day, they would have died. They would have spent eternity in hell. But in my little 14-foot boat were three men that served Jesus. And we may not have the mega yacht, but we have something greater of worth, and that is our salvation in Jesus Christ. So the reality is, the real rich one is this guy.
Amen.
And Danny. And Abdiel. And Dennison. That was on the other boat. and Jay that was in the other boat, and Paula catching no fish on the other boat, and the other people on the other boat.
She caught a jack
of two birds. Okay, two birds. But see, look at your lives. The devil said, look at them, look at that. They have more money, new car, new that. None of it matters. What's the solution? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your goal. I don't care what your goals are. I want to lose weight. I want to get rich or whatever. But this is a goal all Christians should have. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business. Can we do that today? How many need this today? How many needed it? I need it. In Jesus' name. And come on. Let's just be honest. In the name of Jesus, I want to tell you this with love. Mind your business. You can help me preach today, turn to your neighbor, say, mind your business and stop staring at me. Go ahead, tell them. Just mind your business. Mind your business working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Lead a quiet life. That word quiet literally means peaceful and restful. You want more peace in your life? Mind your business. Stop always looking, well, they got more, and they got better, and they got nicer, and they got bigger, and they got... Stop! Be content. Be thankful. Just live with this peace. That if God wanted to give you more, He would have done it. But everything you have now, that you might complain about now, you don't deserve, but you have it through the grace of the Lord. You want help? Look at what God says in this verse, the master, the landowner, Matthew 20, verse 13 through 15. And we'll close with this. You guys blessed this morning?
Amen.
He answered one of them. Remember, this is a symbol of God talking. And it says, friend, I haven't been what? I haven't been unfair. How can he say that? Because you deserve nothing. Church, I don't care what the devil tells you. God is not unfair. The only time you can say God's been unfair was when he put his son on that cross for you, who deserved the sin and the punishment and the eternity of hell. But God in his grace put Jesus on that cross for you and I. But right now, the way your life is, you may not like it, it may be difficult, it may be hard to understand, but one thing is for certain, God is not unfair. He's actually pretty good. He's a good guy. He answered one of them. He said, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money, take what I've given you, take it, and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. I wanted to do it. And look at this question that's going to set you free from discontentment, jealousy, and give you great joy. Is it against the law for me to do what I want? God says, it all belongs to me. This is my vineyard. This is my money. It belongs to me. And I have the right to do what I want with what I own. And can I tell you right now, you and I own nothing in this world. Everything we have has been given to us by the grace of God because it all belongs to Him. So if God wants to do it this way, who are we to say that's not fair? God does what He wants. Just mind your business, be thankful, and be content. You see, you have a choice to make, church. Right now, this morning, you have a choice as a Christian, as a believer. You have a choice to be like the 6 a.m. crew and complain and be dissatisfied and discontent and have no peace. But you know, the truth is, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ today, you and I actually represent the 5 p.m. crew. You know, how is that? Because the 5 p.m. crew, they got what they did not deserve. And the master of the vineyard displayed grace to them and mercy. The truth is, everything in our lives is grace. Come on, give God a real praise today. It's grace. You and I deserve nothing. We're that 5 p.m. crew. We deserve nothing, yet we got more than what we deserve. It's not unfair. It's grace. I deserve nothing, but I just trust God and I'm grateful for everything He's given me. And everything I don't understand, I just trust Him because it all belongs to Him and He does what He wants. Instead of saying, why them? And why them? And God, why them? Listen, instead of saying, why them? Be grateful and say, Lord, why me? Why are you so good to me? Why did you bless me in ways I don't deserve? Think about it. Why us? Why me? Why you? Why do we get to come to church on a Sunday in a building that we rent to worship and hear the Word of God? Why do we deserve that? Because God is good. Why do we get to listen to the Word of God every Sunday? Why do we get to pray and worship Him on a Sunday with freedom? Because God is good. Say, why me? Why did we survive COVID? Why didn't our church close down? Why didn't our church shut down with a lot of churches did around the U.S.? Why? Why? Grace. Because God is good. Why do you get to wake up next to a spouse? Because God is good. Why do you get to be single without a spouse? And you can save money, do what you want, because God is good. Why do you get to get up tomorrow morning and go to work? Why, God? Because God is good. You and I deserve nothing. Do you receive this word today? You're probably wondering why there's umbrellas everywhere, right? Because I want to show you how crazy it is for us to allow the devil to draw comparison and question God's faithfulness and fairness and be discontent. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ and you are discontent and dissatisfied and angry and jealous, there is something seriously twisted about you. Doesn't make any sense. But you know where the devil has you? Comparison. Looking at everyone. Just like these umbrellas. I'm going to ask you guys a question that I promise you no one could answer. It's impossible. Which one of these umbrellas, guess, is not only better but the best? Anyone? Look hard. Which one? Is it the regular standard one? This fancy one that my daughter uses to let everyone know? She's a pretty girl. Beach umbrella. Cup umbrella, pocket umbrella. Is it even this one? This one's pretty, I mean, come on, guys. This one's pretty awesome. Come on. Is it this one? This one's for golf clubs. I love this one. Is this one better? Does anyone want to guess which one's better? You like to have a which one's better. Someone answer it. Come on. The big one's better. Kevin says the big one. You say what? The biggest one's better. Okay, what else? Anyone? They're all better. Which one? This one, she likes the small one. Which one? The black one's better. He likes the black one. Which one's better? Callie's better. Of course Callie's is better. Nah. Here's the answer. You cannot answer that question until you first answer this question. Depends on what purpose. What's the purpose? Now, let's have our minds blown. If the purpose is to go on the beach and not get sunburned, which one's better? The beach umbrella. But look at this little cute thing. Now, if I want to have a nice, cute little drink with no alcohol, by the way, don't judge me. Which one's better? Of course, this one is. But see how crazy it is if I would compare and the big one's better. Yeah, and I want to be like the beach one. And then I want to drink something. How crazy is this? How much peace would I have if this were my little umbrella and my drink? How crazy would this be? And I'm trying. And David, why are you having such a hard time? I don't know. Because I want to be like the beach umbrella. And you say, no, David. That's not the purpose of that. This is the purpose. But what if I go to the beach and I stand under this in the beach? And I come back to church on Sunday and I'm all red and crispy. It all has a purpose. It all has a purpose. It all has a plan. Not one of these umbrellas is better than the other. This one's cute and makes you look nice and cute and whatever. This one's standard if it's raining. This one's perfect for the beach. This one's great for your pocket. This one's great when you're fishing and you need some shade. This one's perfect for golf clubs. Everything. This one's perfect to attach to a chair. This one has its own purpose. All of these umbrellas that you see are better only when they understand what they were designed for. It makes no sense for a believer to look at the life of everyone else and say, they're better, they're better, I'm better, I'm the greatest, I'm bigger, I'm this, I'm that. That doesn't matter until you understand that God has given you a specific design and purpose and plan for you. And when you learn to mind your own business and work with what God has given you, and you take pride in what God has given you in His grace, you are able to enjoy where you're at without comparing yourself to others, wondering why them and not me. You have to understand that God has given all of us a unique design and purpose. And that purpose is never meant to be better than anyone else. We live our lives just trying to be better and better. And I'm better than you. And I'm better looking. And my house is better. And my car is better. And my body's better. My this. Stop. And just say, Lord, help me be the best version of me you've created me to be. And help me work with what you have given me. Amen. You guys receive this? Come on, let's stand up to pray today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for all of us today. All of us in the church needed this word, I believe. If you're here this morning saying, Pastor, I want to live under the kingdom of God, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you today to make that decision. If you don't know Jesus, understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And it's only by grace that God has given us what we don't deserve, and that's salvation. So don't be like the 6 a.m. crew and think that if you work hard enough, you're going to get salvation. Just understand that everything is grace. And today you can have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, especially if you're listening online. Would you pray this with me? If this is you, just say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And according to your mercy and grace, I receive the gift of salvation. by placing my faith in your Son, Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me and save me in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning saying, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I've been discontent, dissatisfied, lacking in joy lately, but I realize because I'm struggling with comparison, I'm not as grateful as I should be. I'm entitled. I feel like I'm entitled to more. And the devil has robbed me of my joy. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, if you felt like this message was the Lord just touching you today, this morning, would you lift your hand up so I can pray with you? God bless you. God bless you all around the room today. All around the room. It's time to kill comparison. It's time for you to say, Lord, I will be faithful to the work you're doing in my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here. We don't always understand what you do, and sometimes life seems unfair. But Father, today we ask, Lord, that you would help us to learn contentment, to know that in any circumstance in our life, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We should live content. We should live thankful. And we should be an example to the world of what it looks like to belong to you. Forgive us, Lord, when we compare. When we look at someone instead of looking up to someone. Forgive us, Lord, for the arrogance of being better than anyone else. Because everything we have is grace. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking we deserve more. And help us to understand, like these umbrellas, what you have created us to do and who you created us to be. Because that is the best version we can be. Ourselves through who you created. Help us to rejoice with those who rejoice, who you bless. And Father, give us a grateful spirit. And we thank you. And all God's church said, amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. God bless you all. You guys can have a seat. I want to thank you all for joining us. I pray that you guys were blessed by that message. I know that this message really meant a lot to me because I realized, I said, God, we have it so good because you, Lord, are so good. Can I get an amen there? Come on, God is good. So I pray that you guys leave today's service and you're going to have the temptation to complain, compare, and criticize. The worst three C's you can ever live on. Comparison, complaining, and criticizing. Don't be surprised if you have no joy and no peace, if all you do is complain and argue and learn these valuable two words. Thank you. Thank you. As you leave the church today, say, thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my worship leader. Thank you that I can worship in freedom in this country I live in. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord, because everything I have belongs to you, and I'm grateful. Amen.